good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff joining you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're joining us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. It's Thursday, Greg Bach. That means Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06 for our public cervix announcement. Among the many things we're going to be talking about today, is red wine good for you?
I don't think so.
They always said that red wine had special things in it that made it especially good for your heart.
I'm going to bet, and I'm not a doctor, that those special things you can find in red wine, you can find in other places that aren't
probably
alcohol.
Probably like vegetables.
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Yep.
So we'll find out about that with Dr. Lierley coming up at 11:06. Then J.R. Radcliffe, the Journal Sentinel sports reporter, will join us. There's going to be a book coming out about former number 12.
Good or bad?
I'm not sure. I just... I'm looking forward to talking to JR if he had a chance to take an early look at the book about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy. Who?
Yeah. That name seems familiar somehow.
The New Yorker?
Just a little. That's coming up at 11:33. We are going to start, though, with taking a little trip down memory lane because I think...
Oh.
I know I have a very short memory.
Yeah.
I do. And I think all of us collectively have a pretty short memory. As far as what things were like 4 years ago, say.
Almost to the day.
Almost to the day. And I bring this up because the top three most important Republican, Lee Stefanik,
yeah,
after Donald Trump pretty much wrapped up the nomination after Super Tuesday, Representative Stefanik made these comments on Tuesday night. So, Calvin, let's take a listen to that.
As Ronald Reagan famously asked us, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? The answer for hardworking Americans across the country is a resounding no.
Let's go back in time, shall we?
Should have gotten my TARDIS.
Let's go back in time to the first week of March in 2020.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. Donald Trump said on February 28th, going back a little further, we're ordering a lot of supplies. We're ordering a lot of elements that, frankly, we wouldn't be ordering unless it was something like this. But we're ordering a lot of different elements of medical. March 2nd, you take a solid flu vaccine. You don't think that could have an impact or much of an impact on corona? He was saying this to his top health officials, who all answered no. March 4th, Donald Trump said, and now this is just my hunch, but based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, because a lot of people will have this, and it's very mild. March 4th, Donald Trump. If we have thousands or hundreds of thousands of people get better just by, you know, sitting around and even going to work, some of them go to work, but they get better. March 4th. March 5th, Donald Trump. I never said people that are feeling sick should go to work. March 5th, the United States has, as of now, only 129 cases and 11 deaths. We're working very hard to keep these numbers as low as possible. March 6th, 4 years ago, you have to be calm, it'll go away. Also March 6th, Donald Trump, I like this stuff. I really get it. People are surprised that I understand it. Every one of these doctors said, how do you know so much about this? Maybe I have a natural ability. Maybe I should have done that instead of running for president.
Oh, yes, please.
March 7th, Donald Trump talking about COVID-19, 2020. No, I'm not concerned at all. During a news conference on March 9th, White House officials said the U.S. will have tested 1 million people that week. Thereafter, it would complete 4 million tests per week. Unfortunately, by the end of the week, the CDC had completed 4,000 tests. On March 10th, Donald Trump about COVID-19, just stay calm. It will go away. March 11th, it goes away. It's going away. We want it to go away with very, very few deaths. March 12th, you know, you see what's going on. And so I just wanted that to stop as it pertains to the United States And that's what we've done. We've stopped it. March 13th of 2020, 4 years ago. And I remember this like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't take responsibility at all.
Yeah.
March 13th, the Atlantic reports less than 14,000 tests have been done in the 10 weeks since the Trump administration was first notified of the virus, even though Mike Pence promised the week prior 1.5 million tests would be available by this time. I think we forget. I think we forget. March 19th, Donald Trump, I intended to always play it down in an interview with Bob Woodward that wasn't made public until September 9th. So Donald Trump admitted to Bob Woodward in an interview that he intentionally played down the severity of the COVID-19 virus as people were dying, as we had refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals in New York. March 24th, Donald Trump, 2020, we've never closed down the country for flu. So you say to yourself, what is this all about? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, taking a little trip down memory lane about what life was like 4 years ago under the Trump administration. Stephen from Green Bay on the line. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining us.
Snow James, this is what I'm going to say to you to start off my phone call. Thank you for reminding me of what I almost forgot about. With that being said, I wanted to bring something to your guys' attention that I attended last night. The Neville Public Museum in Green Bay has an LGBTQ exhibit that shows the history of the LGBTQ history here in Northeast Wisconsin. And there was a little table there of with a business that actually does stuff with LGBTQ youth. And I told them about the radio station you guys have, Civic Media.
Yeah.
And I said, you might want to actually talk to them about that because they might be very interested in talking to you about that kind of stuff. And they didn't even know your radio station existed. So now there's two more people in the Northeast Wisconsin area that know that WISS and WGBW exist. So I just want to let you know that that happened last night.
Thank you for being our ambassador in the northeast part of Wisconsin, Stephen. Seriously, we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And if you ever run into another organization that you think would be a good group for us to talk to or have on the show, have them email us at janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, pretty easy, janesays at civicmedia.us. Patty actually emailed me a couple of days ago with suggestions, so we're going to be talking to the Waukesha chapter of PFLAG.
Excellent.
In the next couple of weeks. So really looking forward to that. Always looking for something in your community you would like us to spotlight.
Exactly.
Very much so. So yeah, janesays at civicmedia.us. We're taking a little trip down memory lane about what life was like 4 years ago under the Trump administration at the very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic that was just going to disappear and go away like a miracle. Tom from LA on the line. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's not the corporations, and we must get money out of politics. That's the bottom line on everything. Even this upcoming election, how much money we're going to waste on these elections is baffling. I wanted to say that if anyone out there just listens to Donald Trump, his cues are a lot of people have been saying this. So many people are saying this. He always couples what he says with these unknown people. And I wish the media would ask, who are these people? Because he has that tendency to make it where the majority becomes a minority, minority becomes a majority just by him saying, oh, everyone agrees with me. Oh, this agrees with me. So I just want to put that out there for people to look for those cues. Also, I wanted to ask you, do you have a link or something with that, all those different things that you just read off?
We can put a link in the show notes. After the show is over, everything usually gets posted in about an hour. So if you go to civicmedia.us, go to our website, and you should be able to find all the previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And then you click on the episode, and the links will be in there. I pulled this timeline from Lloyd Doggett, a U.S. representative who has the whole timeline, at least of 2020, because then, of course, President Biden took office. But people forget. We just forget what things were like. Dave from Waukesha texting in, putting things in perspective. This feels, thank you, Tom, by the way, for calling, as always. Putting things in perspective from Dave, this feels like a decade ago, not 4 years ago. It's not the age, it's the mileage at this point. We're all going to die about 10 years younger than we think we should have, thanks to a COVID era led by Trump. Going to quickly go pour myself a drink. Well, Dave, you're in Waukesha. Bring one by. We'll take mimosas. We're not anti-mimosa. A Bloody Mary would.
I'll take a Bloody Mary anytime.
Lots of olives. That'd anytime. If you ever want to join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A little trip down the COVID memory lane of where we were 4 years ago.
I love when they say that question. Was your life better 4 years ago? No.
Well, it is. I can get toilet paper when I need it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to worry about wiping down my groceries anymore.
I've watched Parks and Rec an embarrassing amount of times through. So
you can always join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you along. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Surgeon of Sound, Calvin on the board, and you can join us. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. We were talking about the timeline of the coronavirus, where we were 4 years ago today. I wanted to move on to Tammy Baldwin, going to be at the State of the Union speech tonight, and more details about that. But Derek from Wisconsin is joining us on the line. Good morning, Derek. What did you want to say? Oh, Derek is gone. Okay.
Goodbye, Derek.
Goodbye, Derek. Again, you can always call 855-75-CIVIC. Tammy Baldwin out with her first ad of her re-election campaign. It was released on Tuesday. And Calvin, I believe we have that advertisement right now. Why don't we take a listen?
We forge steel bars that hold up bridges, propel ships, and send rockets into space.
But for years, China's been lowballing their prices,
so it's been tough to compete.
We can't let China steal Wisconsin jobs, so I wrote a law to require American infrastructure projects use American iron and steel.
Tammy Baldwin got President Trump to sign her Made in America bill.
And then she got President Biden to make it permanent.
I'm Tammy Baldwin. I approve this message.
Tammy Baldwin has our back.
New ad from Senator Tammy Baldwin, the first one of her re-election campaign. We've talked about this before, just about all of the money that she's helped bring to Wisconsin. Yeah. Lots of federal dollars. And it's making a difference.
Now, I've worked in campaigns. I've done work in politics. There's some things, though, that are missing, I feel like, from that ad. First of all, lack of lake diving.
There was no frozen lake involved in this.
She said Wisconsin too many times, as if she wants us to know she's from the state.
And does work on behalf of people who live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's just sort of like minutia. People aren't going to get that. Then finally, I saw the ad, and at the end of it, it should have been like, I'm Tammy Baldwin, and I support this axe. Boom! Just really, and then a weird Spider-Man, like, pew, pew, pew.
So at the end of the ad, it should be, I'm Tammy Baldwin, I approve this message, and then she hurls an axe.
Yep, directly.
At a target.
At Target, and that target's like, I don't know, like.
Oh, I can think of a couple.
A Chicago Bears
we won't go there.
Logo, I don't know.
It's just a little contrast. So that was Tammy Baldwin's first ad. This was the first ad from her challenger, Eric Hovde, the guy from California. Let's listen.
About a half-inch layer of ice on the lake. It was hard to break through.
Hmm.
But it's good to get out here for a good cold plunge.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Good cold plunge.
So the Dems and Senator Baldwin keep saying I'm not from Wisconsin.
Hmm.
Which is a complete joke. All right, Senator Baldwin, why don't you get out here in this frozen lake and let's really see who's from Wisconsin. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care.
When that first came out, we did talk about most people in Wisconsin don't do that.
No, we don't.
And I'm still open to any suggestions on other things Eric Hovde should do in his ads that people in Wisconsin actually do. And we had one caller, and I will never forget this, who said he should smash a beer can on his forehead. Now that
and then someone asked the question.
Some legitimacy.
Then someone asked the question, full or empty.
Either, whatever works.
I still like neck deep in a cranberry bog in the middle of winter.
That works, too. We have Tim from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I was just listening. You were talking about things Trump was saying about 4 years ago and all this, you know, about COVID.
Yep.
Well, I would like to somehow, I'm not on Twitter or anything, I'd like to get a hold of them somehow and tell them that I'm still waiting for it to go away because I just got over my third bout with COVID and it wasn't real fun. So
no. I'm sorry.
The prediction was wrong.
Yeah, it was supposed to disappear like a miracle, Tim, remember?
It was supposed to go away the spring.
Yeah, in time for Easter.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have that have been an Easter miracle?
He would have taken a responsibility for that.
Oh, for sure. I'm really sorry you had another bout with that, Tim. Are you feeling better now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I'm still waiting personally, Tim, because I was told that if I got the COVID vaccine, I was going to become magnetic. And I'm still not magnetic.
Well, I can't get my hands off the steering wheel right now.
Hey, Tim. Tim, I got a question for you really quick before you get out of here. You're from Wisconsin?
Yeah, Eau Claire.
How often do you jump in frozen lakes as a Wisconsinite? Like every day, twice a day?
Once a month?
I've never done it.
There you go. Thank you for perfect answer,
that,
Tim.
That wrapped it up beautifully, Tim. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you so very, very much for listening. Speaking of Senator Baldwin, she will be at the State of the Union address tonight. Her guest is going to be Waukesha Chief of Police Daniel Thompson. The Senator and Chief Thompson are going to highlight their work to fight against the opioid and fentanyl epidemics.
That's fantastic. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. And that's not even Tammy in this. Like, it's Tammy, and Tammy's great. But once again, we talk about it a lot, which is, you know, cops aren't known for supporting Democrats.
Not.
That's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sure there's some liberal cops out there.
Oh, sure.
But on the whole, as a industry, you know, pretty conservative. Tammy Baldwin and the police chief of Waukesha are coming together to talk about something that affects everybody, regardless of your age, your
party.
Color, party, everything. That's the important stuff. And hats off to police chief. The police chief of Waukesha.
Absolutely. Chief Thompson said in a statement, quote, in the battle against the opioid epidemic, it requires leaders and stakeholders to unite and declare enough is enough. I take pride and am humbly honored to represent the brave and dedicated members of Wisconsin law enforcement who tirelessly confront this crisis daily. Joining Senator Baldwin in Washington, D.C. Thursday is our declaration. We are ready. We are determined to be a vital part of the solution. We are committed to saving lives in Waukesha and across Wisconsin. It is about working together.
It's about finding solutions together.
For everyone.
Does anybody know who Ron Johnson's bringing to the State of the Union? An alien, maybe.
My whole thing that I'm going to be watching for tonight, and by the way, you can catch the State of the Union address tonight on most of the civic media radio stations. I'm predicting that Marjorie Taylor Greene will start screaming like a banshee in under 5 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what
You think it'll take longer than 5 minutes?
No, for her to embarrass
herself?
I'm just also thinking about everybody. I mean, because now you have, it's not just her. She's sort of the leader of the pack. But, you know, you still got your
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan's, your Lauren Boberts.
I don't know. We'll see how Bobo plays it tonight. She's not doing so well. that will be interesting to watch. All right, we have news coming up next. Stay with us when we return the good, the bad, and an encounter with a moose. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Hooked out in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Like to create, like to explore, like to make things better than before. Build, develop, and design, solve problems and apply. The things you like could be your career.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, RYPC on the board. Resident young person.
Oh, that's okay.
On the board. Coming to you.
He died? Wrong letters.
No, wrong letters. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream, too, if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking about Tammy Baldwin launching her first re-election ad a couple of days ago on Tuesday, so we played that. And you said, Greg Bach, we have a text.
Yeah, Dave from Waukesha texts in again, says, Hovde doesn't seem like a Friday fish fry kind of guy either. Probably sits on Malibu Beach with his tofu avocado toast on Fridays. You know what? I'm not going to use avocado toast as a detractor. I like tofu. I like avocado. But you're right. He doesn't.
He's not a fish fry kind of guy.
No, and at the very best, he eats his fish with a fork. Yeah, dip that in that cup. Yeah, dip in the cup with the fingers.
Is that disqualifying?
Yeah, I think so.
I eat with a fork.
Get out of my state.
We don't have time for these hard and fast Wisconsin rules right now.
Steve from Milwaukee asks, how do I share that awesome Tammy Baldwin ad? I can put that in the show notes, and then you just go. You're going to go to civicmedia.us/shows, click our show, and it'll be a long list of shows. It'll be the most recent one. It'll probably be up by about 1:30.
About an hour. Yeah, hour and a half to get those posted.
They can get that. So.
And we'll put the link in there, too, as the whole timeline of COVID under the former administration.
And you asked the question earlier with regard to Stefanik's question, how were you doing 4 years ago? Mm-hmm. And we got some great comments on the live stream, too. Andrew from Maine said, personally, my life has improved over the last 4 years, in part due to a lot of hard work by myself and my wife to be able to buy a house and stable careers. Can't say how much is the gov's fault.
Government's fault.
Oh, government's fault. Sorry, I'm thinking Tony Evers. Sorry, buddy.
Andrew's in Maine.
You're right. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, we had a similar response from PJ Schlomer as well. You know, people are doing well, and whether it's the government's yay or nay, you know, we're making it through.
Well, yes, but again, I just think it is important for us to remember what things were like 4 years ago and the initial denial by the Trump administration that this was a problem and the downplaying of it. And then we find out months later They had intentionally downplayed it.
Mm-hmm.
We lost over 1 million people in this country.
Yeah.
The economy crashed. The stock market crashed. Millions of people lost their jobs. Companies went out of business. Things were not good. Except, oh, that's right, gas prices were low because no one was driving.
Yeah.
Because we were staying home.
Last time I checked, presidents aren't in charge of gas prices. And also, you know, as soon as the vaccine came out in late 2020, early 21, you know, I got really sick of people saying, well, you got to give Trump credit for that. I'm like, no, I don't. I'll give scientists credit. I'll give the people who works around him credit. But if it's giving him credit, he never would have done it. He would have been going, what do I do?
Well, one of the first things Trump did when he got into office was disband this,
yes,
this scientific group that studied pandemics.
Yep.
Which seemed in retrospect like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning, folks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Having lived in Milwaukee, as I suggested in my last beer can suggestion.
Oh, that was you. I love that so much, Rob.
You know, and I'm not an alcoholic, so I want to clarify that. But in my younger days, I used to do the Walk the Miracle Mile. We would go pub to pub to pub, and whether it was Lincoln Avenue or Packard Avenue or North Avenue, I'm just envisioning the poor underprivileged Mr. Hovde to do a miracle mile. And can you imagine the profundity, the visionary statements coming out of that individual by about the third or fourth pub? Oh, my goodness gracious.
The wisdom would flow, Rob, right? The wisdom, the gems would just never stop.
Yes, yes. And for those folks that do have selective amnesia, back when COVID was going on, oil companies were actually paying to get rid of the oil. They well, you know the drill.
Yep.
It was supply and demand, and they ain't no demand because we ain't going anywhere.
Exactly.
Have a lovely day, folks.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much, Robin. Always thank you for listening.
I think the cheapest I paid was 88 cents once.
It was insane.
It was insanity. It really was. It was kind of like the warm weather in February. You're like, I like this, but this is not good.
But this is not good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I can remember with great clarity that there were a core group of us at the radio station I was at before this one who still went into work.
Yeah.
And we had special permits that we carried with us.
Yeah.
In case we got pulled
That's
over.
That's right. You were saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. In case we got pulled over, I had this piece of paper that said, no, she's a, what were they called? Critical employees?
Essential
workers.
There it is.
Essential workers. I was an essential worker so I could be on the roads. Never had to use it.
Yeah.
But anyway, and Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Real quickly, Ron, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Hey, hi. I'm pretty much in agreement as always. I really am. My mind boggles at the idea that people could forget, literally forget, according to some polling, that 1 million Americans died in COVID. And it's possible that the actual number was more like 1.5 or 2 million.
Yep.
That's what I've heard from health studies. 1 million or 2 Americans died, and this is no big deal. It happened on Trump's watch, but it's somehow Biden's fault, you know, or the Democrats' fault. Then the other thing that you were talking about, oil, gasoline prices, this is something that goes on irrespective of the pandemic. It just goes on every election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
When the election approaches, the national presidential election approaches, if the Democrats are in power, gas prices go up. If the Republicans are in power, gas prices go down. And this is orchestrated usually by the Saudis, who like Republicans, you know, the Prince MJS there, who likes dismembering Washington Post columnists, apparently.
But he sure likes Jared Kushner, though.
That's right.
And a fashionable gene.
It's just, and now you got the Russians in cahoots with the Saudis to raise oil prices.
Yep.
Just in the nick of, guess what, you know? So, if and then they say, well, what are you going to do about it, Mr. Biden? And he says, well, I'm going to dip into our National Strategic Petroleum Reserve again. They're going to say, wait a minute, that's for national defense. I mean, you can't win with these guys. So I wouldn't even, if I would say, I wouldn't even try. I would just talk my game and let them go away.
Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you for calling. Thank you very, very much for listening. You can always join us too. Chime in at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
I was going to say, you know, on the whole topic of the gas thing, this is kind of off the topic, but I'll bring it back around. But gas prices have just started to go up a little bit. For a few months, they were nice and they were good.
They were good, you know, and coming down.
And I would see on Twitter all the time before that, you know, gas prices are going up because of President Biden. And so anytime when I saw the prices go down, I'd always tweet these same politicians and say, hey, can we get a congratulations from President Biden. Thank you for lowering the gas prices. Because if you're going to blame him for high gas prices, you have to congratulate him for low ones.
Yes.
But also remember, he has nothing to do with it. So like that is one of the most, because when people speak on it, they try to speak all like professorial, like, well, the gas prices under the president. No, no, this is a totally different thing. The person sitting in that room.
But it's an easy message to manipulate because yes, we all deal with it. We all deal with it at the pump. We all see it at the pump.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's so simple.
It's an easy thing to use. All right. Yeah. We're going to move on to the good, the bad, an encounter with a moose.
Yeah.
First, the good. Governor Tony Evers signed legislation on Wednesday releasing more than $400 million in funding for projects at two University of Wisconsin campuses. UW-Madison is going to use the cash to build a new engineering building, which pretty much everyone, including the WMC, wants to see. We need more engineers. Yeah. We need these people to come to school here and establish themselves here and then stay here.
Yeah.
So UW-Madison is getting the cash to build that new engineering building. And then Robin Voss's tenants, he's going to help them out by UW-Whitewater will renovate two academic buildings.
Thank God.
Because the Popcorn King has a lot of properties in Whitewater that he rents. And so we want the students to be happy there.
He's the Popcorn and Property King.
He is.
He's the
Popcorn. But that's a good thing. I mean, that was tied up for months and months and months and months. So at least that is one part that's gotten done. Another piece of good news this morning, and Greg, you shared this with me. Credit card late fees capped at $8 as part of President Biden's crackdown on junk fees. And that's something that also affects all of us. And there are so many of these extra fees tacked on. I don't think most of us even think about it anymore.
No, I mean, that's the thing is when talking about getting a new credit card, you have to say, all right, I don't know of any zero interest credit cards that exist anymore. The lowest interest rates are like 14% all the way up to almost 30%.
30%
a month. And then you tack on, you know, like if I have a Southwest card, every year they charge me like $150 as a membership fee. If I pay late, it's $35.
Yeah.
So like all these fees, and in that article it said by lowering those fees, you're going to save Americans $10 billion.
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau estimates the new regulation will save families more than $10 billion a year by cutting fees from an average of $32. When we were talking about this off the air, I did mention to Greg, what about the poor credit card?
What about the poor? Thank you, Jane.
What are they going to do?
They're just going to have to raise their interest rates higher. They need to get a 40%.
Those poor credit card companies.
Thank you. Miss Bob Visa and Steve MasterCard. I mean, what are they going to do?
Help is coming for you, guys. Help is coming for you. The bad. State Appeals Court upholds a ruling that the DNR lacks broad authority to regulate PFAS.
Come on.
They just want to keep dragging this out so nothing ever gets done.
Nope.
We have money to address some of these things. And as I understand it, so there is some agreement, the regulation of the chemicals, any associated limits on PFAS as hazardous substances under the spills law, but they haven't listed everything particularly as well as the amounts that are acceptable. So until they zero in on the acceptable amount of PFAS, they're not going to do anything.
Just...
It's disappointing. It's something that we all... I think we can all agree we would all like to have water that's not poisonous.
How long has the money been sitting there? We've been talking about this for a while. Just do something.
The ruling has far-reaching implications for the DNR's ability to address PFAS contamination in groundwater. Since the suit was first filed, Wisconsin did pass standards for chemicals in drinking water and surface water, but there are no state standards for the chemicals in groundwater. And again, this is just an opportunity to drag this out another couple of years and do nothing and get nothing done. That's not good.
Allowing the people to, allowing these companies to do whatever they want and allowing the people to suffer.
Does that matter, Greg?
My heart's still with the credit card people. I've been thinking about that this whole time. It's like, you know, I mean, I know you want to drink clean water. That fine, great, good. Who doesn't? But it's credit cards.
It's the good, the bad, and an encounter with a moose. That's on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You throughout the day. We guide robots, cars, and rockets safely on their way.
Opportunities abound. There's an engineer for every industry around. Aerospace, geological, audio, bioengineering, biomedical, structural.
Hey, Mr. Moon, tell me, did you know your antlers are gone? Where did they go?
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Wherever you are in the state, across the country, or even around the world, you can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or join us on the live stream. We love watching the comments on the live stream. They have so much fun.
They should get their own show.
They really should. Watch on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. We are doing the good, the bad, and an encounter with a moose. And this ended not great, but at least no one was seriously hurt. I've been following the Iditarod, the sled dog race in Alaska for about the last 5 years. And I think it was at the beginning of the pandemic that this person showed up in my timeline and I just got obsessed. And she was a musher from Wisconsin who did her first. This was before the pandemic. This was 2019. But so I've still been following the Iditarod every year. It's amazing. These people are amazing. They take really good care of their dogs. That might have been the way, that might not have been the way it was in the early days of the mushing community.
Oh, I'm sure not.
But it's a much different thing now. I mean, they have vets, veterinarians at every checkpoint. Every dog gets checked out. It's a much different thing now, and it's a very joyful thing. But in following a bunch of different mushers, moose are so dangerous. They call them murder ponies.
I'm starting a band called the Murder Ponies.
But seriously, there was a woman last year who was doing a training run in Alaska before the Iditarod, and moose apparently confused dogs with wolves. So they're very aggressive.
Say that sentence
moose
again.
Confuse dogs with wolves.
Okay. All right.
So they're very aggressive when it comes to these.
And dumb.
But when it comes to these dog teams.
Yeah.
So this woman is out for this training run and this moose charges her and stomped on her dogs for an hour and a half. She had a handgun, shot it twice, couldn't bring it down. Finally, someone else there, because they all have walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
Someone else who was on the trail came with a shotgun and finally brought the moose down.
I feel like at the beginning of the story, you said no one was hurt.
That was a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So this year, veteran musher Dallas Seavey And he's actually won the Iditarod like 5 times. Had to kill a moose after it injured his team shortly after the start of the race. CB informed officials early Monday morning he had to shoot the moose with a handgun in self-defense after it became entangled with the dogs and the musher. CB said, quote, "It fell on my sled. It was sprawled on the trail. I gutted it the best I could, but it was ugly." That is part of the deal. If you race in the Iditarod, if you have to bring down a moose, you have to gut it before you can move on in the race.
And then that
meat goes to local families and local food pantries.
I feel like you should open that up where you can say like, cause you, that's a hard sentence to say, and I didn't even say it yet. If you are on an Iditarod team, I did it. I imagine it's like a NASCAR team or an IndyCar team. You got people.
No.
I mean, like working with you, or no. you are by yourself start to finish.
You are out there alone. You send out drop bags ahead of the race.
Yeah.
So that when you get to your checkpoints,
yeah,
your supplies are there and your food is there. Someone might be able to drop an extra sled for you, but when you're out there, you're alone.
No. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, you're part of a team in as much as you're doing the race on your own. But back at base camp or wherever you start, there's a group looking after your well-being. Like, or are there just Iditarod people who are the ones in charge of that? Because I'm just saying, we should just allow that. Someone from your team should be able to go to the moose, gut it for you.
And take care of it.
Yeah, because that's a long time.
But this is one of the longstanding rules in this race.
Yeah.
If you are the musher who brought down a moose, you are responsible for gutting it. And then I saw earlier this morning that they've now tacked on 2 hours to Dallas TV's finish time because the moose was not gutted properly. And he even said, "I gutted it the best I could, but it was ugly."
Yeah.
I assume most of guttings are ugly, never having done this before, but
this is the best gutting.
And I think they all take items with them.
Yeah.
In case they have to do this, because this, again, this isn't the first time this has ever happened.
No, I'm sure they have a full hunting pack on them that allows them to
kill, a knife, a gun,
the whole, yeah.
I'm sure all the mushers carry guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I mean, just because moose are, they're huge.
And dumb.
And kind of cranky.
They're murder ponies.
Murder ponies. There's a woman I follow on Twitter who calls them murder ponies. And someone else said earlier this morning, the most dangerous things for dogs in Alaska are moose, wolves, and porcupines.
That's interesting. Wolves, moose, and
moose, wolves, and porcupines.
I imagine the porcupines are just annoying.
Oh, I've seen, no.
What do they do?
If a dog really gets a close encounter with a porcupine,
yeah,
it's not a good thing. Oh. And we're talking thousands of dollars in vet bills.
I'm really sad now. I just want to go home with my dog.
Just don't let her near any moose or porcupines.
I'll just scream, "Murder pony, murder get pony. Away."
Yeah, exactly. All right. News is coming up next when we return. It's Thursday, so it's time for our public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, then Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe joining us at 11:30. If you have a question for Dr. Lyerly anytime, any kind of medical question you would like to ask, you can text it in, call it in, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Stay close. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell me, did you know? Your antlers are gone. Where did they go? He turned to me and then he said,
I was walking a puffin, eating a muffin when they fell off of my head.
Hey, Mr. Moose, tell me, did you know? Your antlers are gone. Where did they go? He turned to me.
Down in Montana when they fell off of my head.
Hey, Mr. Moose, tell me, did you know Your antlers are gone. Where did they go? He turned to me, and then he said,
I was watching a goose drinking apple juice when it fell off of my head.
Hey, Mr. Moose, tell me, did you know your antlers are gone? Where did they go?